Today's gospel, we are continuing with Jesus' brilliant Sermon on the Mount. And as yesterday, Jesus addressed the heart of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, and traced out its root and origin in the human heart of contempt, rancor, and ill will residing in the heart, which then wants to lash out to strike against another as being the heart of the fifth commandment. So too today, Jesus then moves to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And once again, rather than merely remaining on the external of a definition of what adultery is, Jesus turns the reflection inward to the human heart to point toward the root and origin of where the sin of adultery comes from. And there Jesus points to the sin of lust, which resides within the intellect. And what lust really is to look upon the other person as an object of potential sexual gratification or as an object of pleasure. Lust, in other words, reduces the other person to a kind of commodity. Instead of respecting them as someone who is a child of God, who is a subject, as someone who is never meant to be treated as a means toward an end, turns the person into a kind of object of gratification for oneself. And it is from this lust which resides within the human heart from which every kind then of perversity and deviation from the purpose of the sexual act as designed by God winds up being projected outward and committed. Not surprisingly, today Jesus also addresses what marriage is. I think in both cases it is important to really begin with the beauty of what the plan of God is for marriage and human sexuality. And hopefully once that is presented and people come and see the beauty of the design that God has placed in the relationship between man and woman in marriage and the design of the sexual act, once the beauty of that is apparent, it also hopefully becomes clear why everything less than that is going to be something which falls greatly short of the mark. In fact, it's interesting that the very definition of evil or sin is the absence of a good which ought to be. So, for example, the sin of lying, our speech is to be able to communicate the truth in charity, and lying is the absence of truth in speech. It's something less than what it should be, and therefore it is going to be a sin. And likewise, in the camp of human sexuality, we're going to be able to do a similar thing, whereby when we come to understand the fullness and the beauty of what God has designed in the act, we're going to be able to see why everything else is falling far short of the mark and is therefore going to be sin. So let's begin then with God's plan for the gift of human marriage between a man and a woman. At the heart of every vocation, whether it be to marriage or to priesthood or religious life, is ultimately the notion of self-gift, which is really at the kernel of the gospel. Only in giving my life away am I able to find it and experience fulfillment in life. And so in the vocation of marriage, you have a man and a woman who come together, and in professing their love for one another, state, I want to make my life a gift for you, and I am willing and ready to receive your life as a gift for me. But they enter on equal terms as equals who are prepared to give their lives completely for the other. And because this gift of self, which they wish to project in the love that they have for one another, is going to be a complete gift, it therefore necessarily has to be a permanent union, because if it was only temporary, it wouldn't be a complete gift, it would only be a partial one. It also has to be exclusive, because you can only give yourself completely to one other person. It doesn't work if you give half of yourself to one and half of yourself as another. And so on this basis of this complete gift and this permanent, exclusive, faithful union to one another, they are able to enter into the covenant of marriage. And this then leads us to the proper place in God's plan for the sexual act. Because once the couple has professed their love for one another and has said, yes, I want to make of my life a complete gift to you and to receive your life as a gift, the sexual act now finds its place to be the privileged sign and expression of a love which really exists. St. John Paul II pointed out in his Theology of the Body very beautifully. He said that in the sexual act, the body speaks a language of gift. And the language of gift it speaks is to say, I give myself completely to this person. And even the nakedness of the body is a sign to say, I hold nothing back, but I give absolutely everything to this person. And in the context of a marriage between two people who have professed their permanent love for one another, the conjugal act then really becomes a sacred sign of love and communion between them. And underneath it, of course, is this covenant which they've made together in marriage. And so then it is the perfectly fitting act and the perfectly crowning act to the love which already exists. And it is from this expression of their love as this sign of their love and communion which then becomes the privileged place where human life is designed in the plan of God to be able to enter into the world precisely in an environment and atmosphere of love between two people who are completely committed to one another and who therefore are also prepared to take on the responsibilities of upbringing and raising their children. And this really is, in summary form, the beauty of God's plan for marriage and for the conjugal act or for the sexual act. At the same time, in today's gospel, knowing the different issues that exist with lust and all sorts of various forms of sexual perversity, we also know that there is a temptation residing within the human heart, largely because the intensity of the desire for the sexual act is so strong, probably the second strongest desire we have other than our desire for self-preservation, that it easily lends itself to be perverted or to want to use others merely to take the pleasure of the act divorced away from the responsibility which has to go along with it. And this is precisely where all these forms of deviation from God's plan take place and wind up ultimately perverting the human heart and leading people to become enslaved to their own passions and their own whims, and ultimately to treating other people as objects of pleasure or objects of desire instead of as human subjects endowed with the dignity of being the children of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace that the beauty and dignity that He has placed in the sacrament of marriage, the beauty and dignity that He has placed in the sexual act, would always be something treasured and respected, and that people in all places would truly strive to live this gift in its absolute fullness, and not to settle for various forms of perversity or deviation from the greatness that God has placed within marriage and the conjugal act. Amen.